Original Eichlers and mid-century modern homes are true gems and very rare. We modernists consider them priceless and highly desirable. So when you purchase one of these homes, or you are the current owner and looking to style the home exactly like that period, who do you call? Well, today I am talking with interior designer Lucille Glessner, who is a master at all things mid-century modern. She recently designed the interiors for the famous X100 all-steel Eichler in the San Mateo Highlands. Let's get her take on what works and what doesn't. Welcome to Mid-Century Modernism with Monique, your go-to podcast for all things architecture, design, and innovation within mid-century modernism. Join me on a journey through the golden age of design, where every episode brings you fresh inspiration for modern living and unlocks the secrets of this iconic and timeless style. What are we waiting for? Let's get started. So welcome everyone to another episode of Mid-Century Modernism with Monique. I am so excited to have Lucille Glessner with us today. Lucille is an amazing interior designer that I have known for how many years now? Seven?
At least seven, yeah, I think.
7 years, and she's done residential, she's done commercial, she's a major Eichler enthusiast, just like I am. And she did the interiors for the famous Eichler, the X100, in the San Mateo Highlands. And we're gonna talk a little bit about that, but I wanted to talk with you, Lucille, and thank you so much for being on this show.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
So fun. I wanted to talk with you a little bit about how you got into mid-century modern architecture and what was it that first kind of nipped at you in this world?
Well, it's pretty simple. I wasn't an interior designer when I arrived in California. I went to school later. Mm. But when I arrived, we were looking for a home. And I just fell in love with Eichlers. I didn't know anything about Eichler coming from the Boston area and Paris, you know, before that. But the design, the all the glass, the openness of those homes just spoke to me so much. And I was wondering why nobody was actually just focusing on them, rather at the time, that was like a long time ago in the 90s, they were not as popular as they are now.
That's right.
So, but for me, it was love at first sight. And I think for California, that's the real style for California, because you're looking at homes of all different architecture. Mm-hmm. But to me, the 50s, the 60s, you know, the architects that work during that period defined California and the way of living in California.
Absolutely. I think you either love them or you hate them has been my experience. When I discovered them, I felt like I landed on the moon. I had never seen that architecture before. And when I got into real estate, specializing in them, you know, you have always been a great resource for clients, showing how to do interiors that keep with the integrity of the architecture. Mm-hmm. I think that's so difficult to do, and you do it so well.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you what your experience was like working in the X100 and with that much of an original Eichler. How exciting and thrilling, but I imagine very difficult.
It was a labor of love. I'm so in awe of that house and how different it is, how colorful it is. And so it had been a little bastardized over the years, and being able to restore it to its original glory was really special. Working with Marty Arbenich also was special. He is the owner of the Eichler Network, so he's obviously a specialist in Eichlers for decades, and it's his home. So it was unique doing the research, trying to, you know, come up looking at the ceilings, trying to figure out what the original colors were, looking at old photographs. It was kind of a historical research as well as a lot of not fun stuff of just like cleaning up fans and different things and just fixing the tile. So that was not like the most glamorous work, but overall when it was finished and we also did all the furniture, it was just a wonderful time.
It was wonderful. Amazing. Yeah. It looks really beautiful. You mentioned working with color, and I love how you complement the architecture with color. They're not very bold colors, but you make everything flow so well. I've always been a little discouraged when I see a lot of beige, when I see a lot of white. What would you tell homeowners? I normally say to never paint the mahogany, but some people want to do that.
So it all depends on the home, really, and the homeowners, because when I work with clients, it's their home. So I really listen to what they like. Not everybody likes color, and not everybody likes every color. So it's a matter of understanding how I can introduce color if they want it. There are many different ways of adding mm-hmm. color to a space. So I love to, because we have an indoor-outdoor connection, for instance, in Eichler's, and that's reproduced in many modern homes, you have to really think of the beams, that continue outside. You have to think of the floors. You have to think of all the planes. It's not just the walls. And of course, you have all the textures of finishes, like right. pillows. When I look at a space, and if people are not so into color, you can add it later. You know, bed mm-hmm. linens, pillows, and we can have a little bit of fun there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I add muted colors. Like, so instead of a really bright yellow, you do a muted yellow. You do a blue-gray. You look at, like, a blue, a dark blue, because that's also a neutral, but it can add color. So there are just many different ways, and texture as well. And I love working in biophilic design. So you can add a lot of green by adding plants, by adding moss, by doing a lot of things. And art, of course. You've done a great job with your art just makes the room a different place.
It does, yeah. I love a lot of color. So when I've seen your work, it's refreshing to see that. It's refreshing to walk into a space and feel the time. You know, I think the X100 really is kind of a time capsule.
It is. It is.
You're walking into that world, how it was. I think you've done that so well. I'd asked you before who your favorite architect was, and you have a lot of information about Le Corbusier and who he worked with, which
architecture for me is a little bit like art. You really need to understand the background also of the artist or the architect. And what I loved about Le Corbusier is he started in the 1920s when it was still the Victorian era, pretty much, or Art Nouveau. And so it was very, very ornate. And then you have Le Corbusier, who politically was very kind of a communist at the time. He was really into trying to have houses for the masses, people. So he had projects that were really interesting from that, perspective. So it was even before Bauhaus or anything. So this man is pretty interesting from that perspective. And then he had a lot of people working with him, including this woman who was also an architect and an interior and a designer. Her name is Charlotte Perriand, and she designed a lot of things with him. She didn't get as much recognition as him, maybe because she was a woman, and I don't know, but probably. And Le Corbusier was such a big figure at the time that maybe the people who worked with him didn't get as much influence. But he influenced a lot of mid-century architecture. And so Villa Savoye in near Paris is really worth visiting, and he had a lot of color in that house. There are just lots of, he did things all over. And so I think he's very interesting. He's not my favorite architect per se for the design of things automatically. I have a lot of different architects that I like for different reasons. And but I would tend to go with definitely more modern styles, I would say.
Yes.
Yeah. Other than Gaudi, I'm also in love with Gaudi.
Oh, yes. I think that I'm going to do an episode later about women in modernism. You know, you mentioned, we talked the other day about Ray and Charles Eames. And how these women were, you know, very effective with the designs and producing a lot, but not getting the credit.
Well,
not getting
Charles
the recognition.
At least gave the recognition to his wife, which was good because they were just, it was an item, so good for him.
Yes.
But otherwise, yes.
I think there are so many women. There's a book actually that I'm going to introduce to the viewers about women in modernism who really, you know, changed a lot of things, but you wouldn't hear about them mostly. My next question is, I wanted to ask you what you love most about the Eichler community. You know everyone in this community. You mostly work by referral, I've noticed. People always say, oh, if you want real mid-century modern interiors, talk to Lucille. So what is it that you feel is the most special about the Eichler community?
So first of all, I live in an Eichler. I've been in an Eichler for decades now. And what I love is, I think there's a commonality in people who live in Eichlers. I think it's a choice, if it's a choice. If you just happen to live in an Eichler and you don't like it, it's okay. But it's, I think, definitely an acquired taste if you don't have it. And these are people that I find, that I live in Sunnyvale, so it's one of the biggest pods of Eichlers. And I pretty much know all my neighbors. Everybody walks in the area. And it's interesting because those houses are really close to the street.
Yes.
So people need to make the extra step to meet your neighbors. And so for years, there have been parties in neighborhoods and, you know, during Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
You have... You have people
parties,
opening block parties. You have the concept of those pool and tennis clubs that are part of the Eichler community. So I think it's a little special. It's more of an enclave. It's not a gated place, but somehow it has its own little common life.
Yes, community.
Community, yeah.
Yeah, I think the Sunnyvale neighborhood is so special. The 1100 there, I know, are comprised of about four of the same models, so people know each other's homes in the area because it's literally the same house, with different interiors. So.
Well, no, you have all the different styles of the Eichlers because they started that there, I think, in the 60s. It was later. It's a later tract. So you have the A-frame, you have the... What is the name of the one that's almost... Not the A-frame, the one that is the low A-frame. You have the A-frame, which is really A, and then you have the one that is the V.
Just the gabled roof.
The gabled roof.
I think it's... The neighborhoods are so special to me that have atriums. You know, those having atriums, I believe the first atrium was 1958. So those are really special. And I wanted to ask you how you incorporate different designs with atriums, with that much light. I think you and I share kind of that minimalist view when it comes to that. For those of you hearing, we're accompanied by... my little French bulldog, Walter, who you might be hearing his snoring in the background.
Yeah, but it's not me.
He had to join the party today, so. But how do you incorporate designs with the different models? Or atrium spaces, would you tend to be more minimal, or do you...
So I really love plants, and I'd be probably a landscape designer as well if I had time. But I don't automatically feel that atria need to be lived in. I think for me, it's a way to have views from inside your house apart from the backyard. So it has to me, it has to be designed in a way. It can definitely have seating and that sort of thing, but I love it when it's more designed for viewing than to actually live in. That's my personal, you know, take on the atrium. And but you know, this in this area, people try to maximize the square footage. So I'll work with, you know, what their needs are as well.
Right. I find sometimes I have a more purist view of the Eichlers, and some people will want to really change a lot and make it more modern or contemporary. I sort of shy away from contemporary, but
I
know that you're,
I agree.
Right, but you can mesh them. When a client says, I really want a contemporary, I want lots of texture, shapes, I've seen how you can mesh your design in with theirs. And how would you, for those people that aren't really sure which way they want to go, how would you advise them on that? Or
so I also work with a lot of architects here, and who work on modern homes, and they're the ones who tend to change more than I do. I tend to have a more, how would I say, I just feel that most of the Eichlers, if they have not been changed over the years, actually are designed pretty well. And if I'm going to change something, it's going to be more, well, they need more room. And we then, you know, look at how do we move walls or change things within the house. I can work with architects. I can do additions and that sort of thing. But that's not, you know, what I like to do most. I leave that for a lot of architects, and then I help with all the interior space, and really help clients get what they need from there. But yeah, I think it's, I just work from what is, function is really important. I need basically my clients to function as well as possible in their home and have a really good flow and feel as that it's as customized as possible for them. So if that means we go a little bit more contemporary, it's okay. We can, you know, contemporary can mean so many different things though. So I just want to keep the house. I think any architectural style should be looked at as a principle of design. So there are things that were done for the mid-century homes that work really well with them, and some things don't. And so it's more, rather than being so precise as to what you need to do for these homes, it's more a question of understanding the principle, explaining that, and then the guidelines are there, and it's a lot easier. Like, you know, furniture, mid-century modern furniture has generally a lot of legs. You look at it, the legs are important, everything is off the floor. You don't have a lot of low furniture that, you know, sits on the floor that takes a lot of room. You want things to be airy. You don't want them to be heavy. So and you don't have a lot of space for art because you have a lot of glass. So you need to think of how you add art. And with mid-century modern, they had sculptures. Mm-hmm. Lighting was super important. So these are the things that I really focus on, because you want to have the views. You want to focus on the glass. You want to keep that airiness and not, like, have too much stuff.
Amazing. Yeah, exactly. Do you have one project that stands out in your mind in particular that you loved working on, or a client home that you can share about?
There are quite a few. I have a client that husband and wife that I absolutely adore. They actually hired me when I first started, pretty much. They live in Porto La Valle, not far from you.
Okay. Right here.
And so they have a mid-century home and not a nightclub, but, you know, something similar to yours with amazing views. And they have such an understanding of what it means to live in this kind of home. And they're extremely sophisticated and not showy. And that's also one thing with mid-century modern. You cannot be a show-off in a mid-century modern home. If you start putting things that are very ornate, you know, you can't do that. I mean, you should not do that. If you do it, that's okay. But, you know, it's...
Right. To each their own, but it's preferred.
Right. But when you have clients who really understand that, and not only that, they're just absolutely amazing people. I think it's very unique to have that. And they're on their third home, and I've helped them with their third, you know, all their homes, plus their offices. So I've over the years, I'm still working with them right now. So it's been an amazing relationship.
Amazing. And I know mostly your residential work that I love, but commercial work, what specifically do you do for clients? Their office spaces and...
Primarily offices. I've done lately some showrooms, medical offices as well. But what I love the most is really corporate offices. The reason for that is I feel like I can really impact the life of the employees. I can also, because I'm not a big firm, I wouldn't be doing a Google office, or so it's smaller offices with people who don't really understand much about the well-being of people in the office. For instance, I'm really big. When I was pregnant and when I had my baby, I was working, and I had to breastfeed, and so I had to pump. And there was no place in the office that was locked that I could go into, and it was so uncomfortable.
Oh yeah.
But now in offices, you know, people do that, but small offices, they don't automatically think of that. So this is like just one example of something where I feel I can help figure that out. Also privacy, making sure the materials that I use are healthy. Because even if you don't sleep in the office, you spend quite a bit of time, although now things have changed quite a bit. But I feel like I can really impact the well-being of people. And also in offices, I can do really fun stuff like murals. I can do in one office I installed a real airplane on the ceiling of just for fun.
I need to see that. But you have maybe more creative freedom there.
And that's where it's sorry I woke you up.
It's
a lot of fun. And somehow, you know, people don't live there, so they will let me be a little bit more creative.
Yeah. So I love how you said it makes people feel more comfortable there. I've seen from your work that you'll feel a space very much. Walking into the X100, you feel that time and you're instantly relaxed. At least I was when
totally.
I saw it.
Yeah.
So I can see that your work in corporate offices would be similar. You want to relax the employees, and I'm sure that affects their work and affects everything else.
You know, I think in interior design, you really think first and foremost of the inhabitant, of the occupant of the building, of the home. It's not about you. It's about how you can help them live better in their home. And we know now that I'm a lead AP, which means I've really studied the environment and green building and how it affects people and the environment. And so I really try to use that knowledge to help, because if you put in a vinyl floor or vinyl planks versus natural wood, you're going to have off-gassing for about a year. And if you have young kids, it's not ideal. So there are choices in materials when you design. And of course, I understand budgets as well. But overall, there are materials that I would recommend over some others. I'm not going to force people to, you know, do that, but at least I can give them some information. In California, it's pretty good because we have great codes that are helping with off-gassing from products that come here. They're generally very healthy, and they don't have the varnishes that you can find in other states. But overall, you still need to think of what you breathe in and out in your home every day.
Wow.
Especially in your bedroom, because you spend, like, you know, a lot of time there breathing in. And so, yeah, it's something to think about and that I can.
That's right.
So, yeah, health.
Absolutely. And for those of you that would like to reach out to Lucille to ask about those materials, you can go to LucilleGlessnerDesign.com. And I want to thank you so much for this wonderful podcast. We are limited, unfortunately, to 3 minutes. So
it's already been 3 minutes.
We've already passed that mark. But thank you so much, Lucille.
Oh, thank you, Monique. You're wonderful. Thanks.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I hope you had as much fun learning about the world of mid-century modernism as I did. You can also catch the show on my YouTube channel, where we walk through some of the most stylish mid-century modern homes in California. Just search for Mid-Century Modernism with Monique and hit subscribe. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and leave me a comment to let me know what you think. Your feedback helps me make the show even better. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Mid-Century Modernism with Monique.